Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast again. I am so excited to introduce to you two lovely people. I have Hope Fitzgerald here and also Gary Malkin. And Hope is a spiritual teacher, intuitive dowser, coach, and author. And she has a new book called The Infinity Wave, a collective guide for personal and collective growth. And there it is. And she's also a healer, an end-of-life midwife, and a certified neurofeedback practitioner. Hope has dedicated her life to developing individuals, communities, and the earth to become beacons of wisdom and inspiration. With numerous appearances on global internet and radio shows, Hope continues her mission of encouraging planetary awakening. As an intuitive spiritual teacher, dowser, and a leader of international trips, Hope brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to her audience. So welcome, Hope. So nice to have you.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here, Angela.
And Gary is a multiple Emmy Award-winning composer, producer, public speaker, performer, and artistic director. He is dedicated to demonstrating how music and immersive media serves a vital role in deepening our emotional, spiritual, and somatic dimensions. Drawing on over 40 years of experience, Gary has inspired audiences with forward-thinking educational programs and media content. Gary has worked with visionaries such as Deepak Chopra, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Marianne Williamson, Reverend Michael Beckwith, and many more of the world's most respected humanitarian leaders through his media publishing company, Wisdom of the World. These globally acclaimed recordings have resulted in an archive of inspirational media in his Gaia TV streaming series, Islands of Inner Peace. So welcome, Gary. Thank you so much for being here.
Delighted, Angela. I hear a little squealing in the background. Maybe there are little children in your background there.
I have a little grandson.
Okay. That's great. Okay. Nice to be here, Angela.
Yeah, so nice to have you. So we really want to talk about, like, Hope and Gary work together, and they've got this amazing program. That's called Graceful Passages, and it's a part of their You Awake. And so I'll let them explain all of that. I won't try to do that because you're the ones that know about it, but maybe just tell us a little bit about how you guys met and how you ended up working together.
I think you should take it, Hope.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, Graceful Passages is what initially brought me moving towards Gary. My mother had died, and my minister gave me a CD that he had burned from his copy of Graceful Passages because he thought it would help me out. And I sat down and listened to it with my husband one night and was blown away, absolutely blown away. At its beauty, at how profound it was, how it opened up my channels, allowed me to grieve even more completely than I had previously. And I just didn't know who had put this thing together. This was a long time ago, 2001, 2002. And but I always remembered it, you know, it stayed in my consciousness. And fast forward many years, and there's lots of near misses in between, but Gary arrived on my doorstep in Western Massachusetts with a mutual dear friend because we were putting on a play. We were putting on a musical reading of the first iteration of a play about bonding between infant and mother. And I was going to be in it. I was also housing them. And so it was one big happy family for a week. And that's when I finally met Gary and could put the face to the CD and understand that he was the guy who was a part of putting that together. There were other people involved too. So that brings us very quickly up to about 10 years ago now, something like that. And then Gary was visiting. We were talking, and why don't you take this part, Gary?
Okay, all right, So, the process of what got me to create Graceful Passages is in and of itself a really big story, because I had the largest music production company in the Bay Area from 2000, let's see, 1981 to 1998, and I had a very serious accident, a bicycle accident that was compounded by my wife at the time deciding to leave the marriage. So I had one of those summers of Job where everything and anything that could go wrong went wrong. And it was in that raw, tender, grieving state that I was graced with the opportunity to co-create this remarkable idea that came as a result of the collaboration between me and Michael Stillwater and his wife, Doris. And essentially, just so you understand what Graceful is that we went around to world-class visionaries like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross before she died, the pioneer of the death and dying movement, Ram Dass, the spiritual leader, guide, author of Be Here Now that has really taught generations of people spiritually, Rabbi Zalman Schachter, and other extraordinary beings. And we asked them if they were going to die tomorrow or next week, what would they say to the person they most love in this world? And we would get at first the first half hour, these people are so famous, they used to, everybody used to just accept whatever they said. But I just kept on saying, we're looking for something a little bit more skin in the game. You're like, they want, you do? What do you want? And so we want to be a fly on the wall as if you're talking to the person you most love in this world. And they weren't Stanislavski actors. Like, they were, we were asking them to be a level of transparency in their depth of connection with their higher self. And invariably, when they dropped into that, I used to get the tears and chills. And I used to say to myself when we were in the studio with these people, Houston, we've made contact. And that section, I would take and I'd score the audio. It was audio only, because that's what I believed had the greatest power, and use the art of film scoring to underscore these words. And something truly remarkable resulted after 3 years and 2,000 hours of the studio. I suddenly realized that even though I had done music for TV, film, and commercials for 20 years, this is what I was really meant for, which is to create a soundtrack for the transitions of our lives. So when I met Hope, fast forward 15 years from the creation of the launch of Graceful in 2001, we were sitting on a couch together, and Hope Fitzgerald, I just had dinner with a friend tonight, and I was saying, honestly, she's the most valued jewel in my treasure chest of friends. And she's such a beloved. And we were sitting on the couch, and I didn't know about the part of her that has been kind of obsessed with helping people through the death and dying process since she was a teenager. And I finally, in this moment of tenderness, we're in her home, and I just said, well, if I had a year to live, all I would do is focus on helping people get a greater than cognitive understanding of their mortality, because it was my belief. What I saw with Graceful Passages is when you took spoken wisdom with the utmost of wisdom and tenderness that was lived through these extraordinary beings. I mean, Thich Nhat Hanh, Ram Dass, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, these amazing souls. And when you actually got them to speak from the tenderness of their heart, and then I had the opportunity to score it like a film. And what happens is people have a greater than cognitive understanding of their impermanence, right? And my belief is if the whole world, or even 1% of the whole world, had a chance to have a greater than cognitive understanding of the truth of our mortality, I believe this world would be a better place, because you can't not feel grateful for life, the miracle of life, if you understand in your body, mind, heart, and soul that you ain't gonna be around forever and you don't know when you're gonna go, So I just had this moment on the couch with Hope, and I told her that, and she looked at me and she said, well, me too. That's what I would do, really. And I looked at her, and I looked at her eyes. I went, really? And she went, yeah. And I went, then let's do something about it. And we shook hands on it. And that was 2015 and at 16, something like that. And it was this moment, I never forget it, because it was one of these holy vows where soul to soul, we looked at each other and we went, let's do this. Let's do something. And sure enough, when COVID hit, we started putting a shape to this. And it became this thing that we called You Awake, Mastering the Art of Change. And that's when I realized I've been constantly trying to crack the code of creating a Graceful Passages workshop, but I didn't realize until working with Hope that Graceful Passages, which is essentially an accelerated tool for grief literacy, was just the first step of a four-step process that came through Hope, that I literally got cheers and chills and went, Hope, that's something really worth remembering. And I'll take it, let you take it from there, Hope.
Well, it's just Graceful Passages itself is this beautiful piece, a series of pieces that Gary was describing, and they are absolutely precious, and they do take you, they transport you to another place, and I think they're wonderful for transitions of all kinds. They soften the soul, and my work, quite separate from what Gary has been doing, is this. It's spreading the word about the Infinity Wave, the book that I showed you, which appeared to me in a series of visions, now 12, 13 years ago, and I was told that I needed to teach about it. And it's a long story, but the essence is that this energy, this figure eight made of flowing water, is a symbol to help us remember that there are ways to be with whatever life gives us. So inherent in that watery flow is this very high quality of love and compassion. So I had been working with the Infinity Wave and that energy, and I had become much more fluid myself in the process. I was already pretty wavy, but then I got even more so. So when it came time to work with the principles of graceful passages and the change dynamics that I've been working with the Infinity Wave, because it's all about not resisting. It's all about staying in a state of flow, which is basically staying in love and compassion. But that's not easy for us to do. That's not easy for us to maintain. So how do we do that? Well, you can really do it just by imagining this figure eight of flowing water in your field, in your body, and all of a sudden you start to soften, you start to melt a little bit, and life doesn't seem so hard and brittle. So when we put that together with graceful passages, I realized that there is a kind of passageway that we can go through to get to the other side. The other side is coming out of that knothole, in a way, coming out of this process, so grateful for our lives that we are set free. It's really about freedom. And what Gary said before, to me, I think of it as living with the end in mind. We have the bookend of our birth, and then we have a bookend at the other end. When we are conscious of it and we kind of keep it in our minds, then the decisions that we make are bouncing off that bookend. Things become much less random. Things become purposeful. Things become mindful because there's an end date. So everything kind of orients to that, and it becomes not scary, but liberating, because now I know what I want to do. Now I know what I want to say. If I have an hour to live, I have a year to live, like what Gary gave to the as the prompt. When you're put into that state, it's much easier to make decisions and to decide who you are and what you are. And the last piece I'll say is that My work is all about evolving. That evolution is something we're used to thinking of happening in the background somewhere, but anybody can look at the last even 5 years and see what the pressure cooker has created in terms of people changing. And what our first response to change is usually to buckle down, is to get hard and rigid. But what if we could stay in a flow state when change is upon us? And what if we could stay in love and compassion? Then maybe the changes are for our highest good. Maybe the changes are to help us grow. And so that is how this four-step process kind of evolved in my own mind, because I would like everybody who comes to one of our workshops to start in one place and evolve into another place at the other end.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. And you know, that's why we call it You Awake, Mastering the Art of Change. Because for most people, especially most people under 30 or 40, you probably noticed that there are a lot of younger people walking around that think they're going to live forever. And because there haven't been that many losses in their lives, most young people, there is a kind of an obliviousness to the reality of our mortality, right? So that's one of the reasons I love we kind of the flagship course is called Mastering the Art of Change, and it's about resilience, and it's about that incredible thing that Hope just talked about, where you when you are in that infinity wave and you make the turn, it's really about the resilience to flow with the changes and to be, you know, flexible and flowing and responsive and not contract, right? But you know, the grandmother of all transitions is the recognition of our mortality. So that's why the second, slightly more advanced course we offer is Graceful Passages, which is From Grief to Gratitude. And then the third course we're going to create, which we haven't created yet, is also one of the most important things in my view of our time, which is to really serve the caregivers, both the professional and the lay, because all of us will be touched by them at one time in our lives. And we all, trust me, want our caregivers to be really clean and resourceful and resilient and in love with what they do. And if they get this waxy buildup where there's so much grief that's unattended that they can't actually function as well as we'd like them or they'd like to, that's a problem in the culture. And we're experiencing the worst exodus in healthcare right now in the history of our world, you know. So we're really looking at those three areas: resilience, grief literacy, and self-care. And I think that I know we've talked a lot, but I think that rather than just have words, I think it'd be great to give our audience a chance to drop in together with an example of graceful passages. If that would be okay, Angela, unless you had another question you wanted to give us.
Well, I would absolutely love that. And I love everything you're talking about. I think grief just does give us a gift in knowing that there is, an end. And you guys are bringing that to the forefront. And so, yeah, I would love to hear. I would totally love,
Great.
yeah.
Great. Well, so I'm going to play one. And I want to just say that to whoever's looking at this, you will know in your heart of hearts if you're more of a sonically driven person or if you really need to look through your eyes to be awakened and inspired. Some people, like me, I'm a sound person. So when I hear the best impact this track you're about to hear has for me is if I close my eyes, right? But some of you might want to look at the images, and that's why we carefully curated these images so that you can be almost doing this idea of this infinity wave at the same time, be reflective. In this time, one of the greatest gifts we can give one another is to slow down so we can entrain to a slower pace of breathing. Because in that spaciousness, our wholeness comes back to us. So as you see this video called Letting Yourself Be Loved, and it's by a guy, I basically got this man to record this message to us, and then I scored it like a film. So just what I'm gonna ask the audience is just feet on the ground, nice full tank of air, breathe fully, and allow yourself to listen your way into an awakening experience. I'm just gonna share the screen and we'll see you on the other side. It's 6 minutes. So really give yourself this uninterrupted moment, okay?
Beautiful.
Deep breath.
Has ever prepared us for this experience. We think it's the end. No. It's another beginning. Another beginning. Yourself be loved. Of course, we've learned to judge ourselves. We're always judging ourselves. But I learned to listen that I was loved. I was loved. Then I would forget that I was loved. Those were the most painful times for me, forgetting that I was loved. So you've let yourself be loved while you've been here. And you've judged yourself. And you've forgotten that you were loved. And you became alone. But you will always be here. You are blessed. You are forgiven. You have to listen that you're loved. And you have to forgive all the time. Listen that you're loved. And forgive all the time. You are. Son. Farewell, my daughter. Farewell, my father. Farewell, my mother. Farewell, my sister. Thank you for letting me love you. Thank you for letting yourself be loved. God bless you.
Time. It gets me every freaking time. Anyway.
So beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
There is something about what it's to share this. And the way I encourage people to share it when they find out that there's even the remote threat of losing of a terminal diagnosis, there's a modality to learn how to use it where you don't play the spoken word version first. You subliminally play it in the background of their environment until they finally just say, what's there in the background? What is that? You know, and then you look for an opening. And then, because you don't want to hear about a terminal diagnosis and accepting death in the beginning of a diagnosis, you have to go through a process of acceptance. But what it does is the embedded energetics of the music is really designed around surrender and acceptance. And it, but if you play it in the background, I really do believe it injects something in the field that actually softens your ability to engage in the listening to the spoken word over time. And you share that with a loved one. And there is something so beautiful about sharing the spoken word version with someone who finally understands and starts to accept that this is something that humans have been doing for millennia, for tens of thousands of years, and it's another kind of birth. It's not the ending, it's the beginning. And the other line that he said that I love, and I love it every time I hear it, he says, but you will always be here. It is the most provocative sentence, but you will always be here. And that sums up what is the power of this work. It conveys an energy that you feel in your bones around the continuity of life, no matter what form that life takes, whether it's in physical 3D form or it's on the other side of the veil.
Yeah, and it's you know, just listening to that, I could feel my energy expand, you know, and we're always talking about how, and you mentioned this, how when we get into different challenges and circumstances, we tend to pull in, you know, and we tend to protect. And this is really opening up and allowing our energies, which is really source energy, to go out. And, you know, those you know, the tough negative energies can't survive in that, you know. And so I really think that, wow, you're really on to something here.
And you need to hear hope. That, you know, the hallmark of each of the four modules, which is the four steps of what we call the chrysalis process, which is infused in every one of our You Awake programs, is the secret sauce is the marriage of hope's phenomenal transmissive capacity to bring in an energy with her voice and married with my music that she loves working with. And there is something very, it's almost like molecular communication, you know, it's on the quantum level, it goes in at a very deep level. And I just think hope is honestly one of the most gifted in doing that. And it's a privilege and an honor to have her work with my music for that purpose. It's beautiful.
Well, and it's because You know, it's a chicken and egg thing because the music puts me into a state where that can happen. So it's a good fit, needless to say.
Yeah, you guys are, well, you can tell that you're a perfect team and that you're creating something that's really profound. It's going to help a lot of people. And that sounds really simple, but it's very profound in a lot of ways, because I've noticed, you know, over all my several interviews that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are in grief that just don't know what to do. You know, you get into these states where you just don't even want to live anymore. You know, it just gets so hard. And to have a tool like you are providing to just help release some of that energy that's just constricting. Yeah, I'm speechless, actually.
I hope I want, if it's okay with you, hope I, at some point you're about to say something, but I'd love you to give an overview of the chrysalis process and also about that spiral idea
I was
versus.
just about to say that.
Yeah, good.
So it dawned on me at one point when we were putting this together that really suffering is circular. You go around and you go around and you go around, but evolution is a spiral. So the trick is to get out of that cycle and move it into a spiral so that there starts to be momentum, so that you're not stuck in the suffering of going around. You're actually moving through your grief. And grief is like, it can be, and I know we've all been in grief, so not saying anything brilliant here, but when I've had those moments of deep, deep grief, I learned eventually that I kind of use a metaphor of a train. There's a train moving through me, or a river. The river is moving through me. And if I can use the momentum of that and actually go deeper into the pain, go all the way to the bottom with that train or that river, then I know the river's going to keep on moving. I'm going to get out the other end eventually. So it's almost like pulling the mouth of the lion, you know, closer to you to go for it and use the momentum of it to keep you moving into a direction that will ultimately be freeing. So anyway, the 4-step process, first thing to do is to address this unacknowledged grief, because, you know, you have guests come on and they're very aware of their grief. And they may be aware of what they think their grief is, and that may be it, but there may be other pieces of it that are part of the reason why they're kind of stuck in it. There are lots and lots of people walking around post what we all went through in the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years, that had a loss of their lifestyle, had a lot, the world has changed so much. And they're all thinking that it's going to go back to normal, which it isn't. And so they're kind of stuck and frozen in a state of disbelief, which is really grief. And this is what made this project come together at that time, because I was observing this and I was like, wow, people, I do these trips around the world, and or I do workshops or whatever, and people just who used to flock just were, you know, they just would not do anything, were frozen.
Deer in the
So
headlights.
deer in the headlights, like too much change too fast. So the first module is to deal with grief of any kind, acknowledged, unacknowledged, just let it roll, let it flow. The second piece, and what sort of naturally to me comes out of that, when you're identifying, maybe you have a stream of things that you're grieving and they're coming up and out in that first module. A lot of times there's blame, there's bitterness, there's resentment, there's guilt. There are negative emotions attached to those memories, those stories that are bubbling up and out. And so the way to address those is through forgiveness. And this could be self-forgiveness, this could be forgiveness of others. So it naturally stems that we move into the second module of forgiveness.
And before you go on, I always love to add this other piece, which is where I was stuck, is that I couldn't forgive myself or others because I had a real impairment with self-love and self-acceptance. I had a fierce inner critic that lasted till 3 or 4 years ago that was relentless, right? And so it was what I didn't understand the distinction that how could I forgive myself and others if there's an impairment in my ability to love and accept myself? And when I actually went through a dramatic experience that revealed kind of a sense that God's got me, that God's got my back, something broke through. And I was finally able to like love myself and accept who I am. And no more than that, like really cherish the journey I've been on. Suddenly my forgiveness capacity opened up. So I love bringing in that distinction that a lot of people don't misunderstand really what forgiveness is, and hope has a wonderful reframe on forgiveness that is a really different way of looking at it. If you have a chance to do the workshop with us, you'll find out more about that. Go ahead, Hope. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm glad you did. Yeah, this is a presentation of forgiveness that I had never learned, and it came to me through my guide team. And because I would never have known it without that. And it was a very dramatic moment when it came in. So that's the forgiveness piece. And then from that vulnerable state, once we have deeply forgiven either somebody else or ourselves or both, then we're really prepared. We're vulnerable and ready to face our ultimate leave-taking of this mortal coil. We move into the awe of what it is to just be a spirit, to be a being with or without a body, to have a of touching with the divine. So I call it into the void. And we take people up and out of their bodies, and we move into this realm that when we think of the void, the void sounds empty, right? But turns out the void is actually full of potential. And so once we've brought them up and out of their bodies and into spirit form and into the great potential in the cosmos, it kind of cuts the fear out. They know they're going to be okay. They know there's a place they can go to that's just going to be like going home, and it's going to feel good, and they'll get a fresh start, and they'll be able to just it goes into a couple places, but
And
then
Hope loves to talk about into the void. For me, before I am ready to go into the void, I kind of think of it as you graduate into the maturity of feeling beautiful about being a grain of sand in the vast, infinite universe, and you make friends with awe and mystery, right? And that becomes the precursor to the big grown-up thing that Hope just said, which is really meet your maker and let go of the mortal coil. So those two nuances is what I like adding to it. And then go ahead, though, at their
Well,
forefront.
I this is what our attempt at acting at the bookend in the most poetic, non-threatening, actually comforting way. And because without the bookend in our workshop, we wouldn't earn the fourth stage. The fourth stage is what Gary just rocks the room. He brings people right out of that beautiful recognition, that freedom, and into gratitude and joy. And he does it with his amazing music and singing and all kinds of things. And people are just so freed and so happy and joyful. It's something else, I'll tell you. It's wonderful to behold every time it happens.
Well, and everything that I built Graceful Passages for And everything that we do together is about getting people to the state of joy and of gratefulness. Gratitude is like the highest state of human consciousness. And, you know, for me to be able to work with someone of Hope's caliber puts me in such a great opportunity to celebrate what I am so grateful for, which is to have her as a partner in this work, you know. And it's really beautiful to it's almost like an emotional and soulful flossing process. You could do it every day just for the little losses. Man, I really wished I had that parking spot or whatever. But just, you can do it at any scale. And actually is a process for getting present, because you know that phrase, hurt people, right? So the reason people cause other people hurt is because it's unaddressed grief and loss that hasn't been released. So this is a process that we really do believe and hope that it could be scaled at the highest level with institutions, with, you know, with corporations becoming more comfortable with transparency around the losses we all share. We really believe, maybe it's hubris, but we really believe this formula has an enormous capacity to elevate the level of human engagement on the planet. And we're not kidding around. We're going for it.
And I am so glad that you are. I think it's amazing. Yeah, this has been fantastic. So tell me, how do people get a hold of you? Like, how do they find you and how do they become a part of this program?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to go to our You Awake website. It's awake.com and sign up there for our newsletters and announcements about when we're going to be doing things. And that would be number one. Then Gary has a website. I have a website. Mine is spreadinfinitehope.com and Gary's is wisdomoftheworld.com.
Which is going to be changing to portalsofawe.com in a couple of months. But it's Wisdom of the World will always be there. But Portals of Awe really came out of the growth that I've gone through with Hope and doing this workshop. Awe as the ultimate precursor to gratitude for the miracle of life, right? So yeah, and we're going to be giving a live version of this workshop in Asheville, North Carolina. So I'm not sure when this podcast is going to be airing, but on May 5th, we do a day-long version of this in sponsored by the Center for Conscious Living and Dying in Asheville, North Carolina. We're opening up an invitation to others inviting us. And it generally combines with a concert the night before. That's a community empowerment experience for the whole community, multi-generational, multicultural. And then that opens up people's curiosity to participate in the day-long workshop the following day. And that's what we'll be doing in Asheville more May 4th and 5th. But we really do hope that if you're listening to this podcast and you have a desire to want to host or introduce us to an institution or a faith-based community or anybody that wants to invite us to your community. We have all sorts of things we can do in addition to these two things, and we want to be invited. So please, if you're listening and you have an idea, make sure you send an email to us at youawake.com. And I forget, it's info or staff or just there'll be a place to send an email at the you-awake.com.
And we have run this program online several times. So for those who can't travel or for whatever reason, we will always be doing at least one, maybe two a year online. And those have had incredible impact as well. So whether it's live or not, but I have to say, you got to catch Gary in concert because it's pretty, the roof comes off. It's just incredible. Fantastic.
I think the reason people love it so much is because I have always been somebody that just wears my heart on my sleeve. I know no other way. And I love including and inviting the community to celebrate as a unified field. So I think that that's what people are most in love with, is suddenly having open hearts in a room just because it's more fun that way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I'll make sure I have the links. I'll get the links from you and I'll put them underneath the video. But Wow, this has been so fantastic to meet both of you and to find out about this amazing program. I think that this is going to be very powerful. It's going to help a lot of people. And I encourage the listeners to really check these out. And yeah, so thanks again to both of you. I so appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for being a light worker and focusing on this work and turning your lemons into lemonade so that you could be a blessing in the world as well. We're all, more and more of us are realizing that the suffering we go through, it turns into the most powerful gift of service to others. So thank you for making this podcast available to everybody.
Yes, thank Angela.
Thank you. Yeah, and thanks everyone for listening, and have a great day.